is AJ welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? It is Monday, January the 27th, I do believe. I am going to do this week's podcast following Francis's, if that's how you say that, style of quilt diaries. However, maybe I will make mine mobile day number one. So, let's see what I want to talk about. There were a few things right after our podcast last, which was just a couple of days ago. Three, to be exact. I thought of some things that I wanted to talk about, and I'm like, well, I can't really sit on it until next Friday because then I'll forget. So what I did do, I wrote them down on a piece of paper in my craft room so I could remember. And the things that I remember right off the bat, I'll talk about today. So, without further ado, I shall start. The first thing I want to talk about is searching. I am so unorganized in my craft room that I have a hard time finding things. And yes, that is part of my quilty resolution for 2014 is to become more organized. I'm still folding fabric on occasion, not as frequently as I was when I first started, but I still fold fabric and my drawers are getting full. I need to wrangle just my tools in general. Now, if you're following me on Twitter or on my blog or listen to my podcast, which if you don't listen to my podcast, you won't hear this, so it's a moot point. But anyway, you know that I am working on hexes as part of my kit or things that I want to do while I am on the plane going to the Long Arm Quilt Extravaganza in a week from this weekend. So, yeah, I know I have applique pins. They're like 3/4 inch, and they have like a white head, and they're 3/4 inch. So I have purchased my 1-inch. I think they're 1-inch. Yeah, my 1-inch hexes, and I have put holes in them using a hole punch. I tried gluing the hexie down, but then I thought if I glued all of the hexies and put all of the quilt together and then had a problem getting the little paper template out, it was going to be a huge mess. So I've only glued a few and I've moved on from that. My original thing was to cut the hexies out and put freezer paper down. Well, I have a tendency to be a little heavy-handed. I'll use the freezer paper pieces that I have cut out already so it won't be a waste. But when I'm folding over my edges to baste, sometimes I cause the hexie to be a little misshapen because I'm folding down too far or I'm not feeling the edge of the freezer paper because it is not as firm, for lack of a better term, as the paper templates, which is made more out of cardstock. So I am searching for my applique pins, looking. I know I have them. I bought them. I don't know why I bought them, but I did buy them. I'm looking for them. Can't find them. I've looked in every room I have in my house. The house is not that big. I pulled out every drawer, every place that I could think of that I would have put them, and I was unsuccessful. However, I did find some thin straight pins, and I tried using those, but they are a little too long, and it is kind of difficult to get them out once you have completed your hexie. So I do need my applique pins to secure the fabric to the hexies, so I can baste them. And if you don't know, with the hole in the hexie, once I create the hole, you put your paper template down and then you take your applique pin and you pin through the bit of fabric that shows through the hole. So that secures the hexi to the fabric. If you need to readjust or turn it, or if your hexi gets askew, then you have the ability to turn it left to right. You might be able to scooch it up and down, depending on which way your pen is going, or you can turn it that way to scooch it. And it just helps with your hexes not moving all over the place. I've tried not putting a pen at all, but then it shifts so much that I end up 3/4 of the way around the hexi, and yeah, fabric shifted so much I can't even fold over the last little bit. So that is very painful when you do that. So I have decided that I need my applique pens. Since then, I have ordered another set. Well, it's not a set. Another package of applique pens. And I do believe they are by Clover. Wasn't it a large expense? But an expense nonetheless. I think there are 150 in there of applique pens, which is plenty. So I can do a few hexes when I get tired, and then I can take those pens out and recycle them. So there you go. The searching of the applique pens led to some discoveries that I had forgotten all about. I think it was last year sometime, I had gone to my LQS and they had this cute little bag pattern that kind of like a slouch bag, but not really. Nice little fabric bag pattern that I wanted to do. And it calls for, I think, 2 yards, 1 yard for the lining, and 1 yard for the bag itself because it's pleated. It could be 3/4 yard for the lining. And then yardage for the handles and like a little decorative tie that goes on the handles, which I probably won't do once I get that bag made, whenever I get it made. So I had purchased this fabric, and the reason I purchased it, it was cute. It is sheep knitting. So yes, of course I had to have it. It's basically black with white sheep sitting on something with knitting needles in their hand and a ball of yarn, and they're knitting a pattern. So yeah, I love that fabric, so I bought it. I had forgotten all about that purchase. And the second thing I discovered was some yardage and some charm squares, 2 packs to be exact, of some Christmas fabric that I had purchased. And I purchased it based on a YouTube video that I had seen from Missouri Star Quilt Company that Jenny did. And I can't remember what the pattern is, but I'm quite sure when I go back and look through the YouTube videos, I'll figure it out. So yeah, Jenny Doan is evil. I'm just going to say that, but evil in a good way. She gets you so excited, and she makes it look so easy, and she's so inspiring with all of her YouTube videos that it seems like everything that she's done recently, I've decided I want to make that. I want to make that. Hence the disappearing pinwheel. Yeah, let's move on from that. I'm not going to start that again. But anyway, yes, those are my 2 finds while I was scrambling looking for applique pens. So in search of led to 2 good discoveries within my home. So it looks like here recently I have been shopping at my home. So I've been finding all sorts of good stuff that I've forgotten all about. So that was my finds, looking through all of my unorganized areas in my home. Just so you know, it's not a really cluttered house. It's just a cluttered craft room. There is a difference. My creative area is cluttered. My home is not. But I would just like to be able to just to go to one place and say, all of the pens and the needles live here. All of the cutting things be it scissors, rotary cutters, straight edge, whatever, craft knives, whatever, live here. All of the rulers live over here. You know, things like that. That's what I want to come to. That's what I want to come to. I do want to build, fix me a pegboard wall to hang my cones of fabric, because my little shoe holders, yeah, I like them, but I want to see my cones out, because one of my shoe holders that I hang over the door is, it's not, it's, one's clear and the other one is not, for lack of a better term, and I can't tell you what it's called, but it is not clear, but it's not like a solid color that you can't see through at all. So whatever term that is, that's what it is. So yeah, I'd like to get my craft room like that. All of the fabric folded, all of the cutting things together, all of the marking things together, all of the needles together, all of the little screwdrivers and bits and things to care for your machines together. I'd like my house, my room to be like that. So, the other thing I discovered when I was searching, I've talked about it in my past podcast. I don't know if it's 2 or 3 podcasts ago. And I think it was when I was thinking about starting the Hexies. I found the baby quilt that I had started piecing for my daughter when she got married, in hopes to have a grandbaby, which never came to fruition, at least not in that way. So yeah, I found it, and it is not Hexies like I thought it was. Not at all. Not Hexies at all. It was diamonds. And when you look at the top, it gives you the 3D, it gives you the cubed look. So if anybody remembers the video game Cubert from years ago, Cubert, I used to love Cubert, although he would hop from level to level to level, and then I'd hop him right off the side, and then he'd go, oh, yeah, sound effects, sorry, oh, I feel so silly, but anyway, if you remember Cubert, that's what it looks like. It looks like the grid that Cubert jumped around on. So, yeah, I found it. And it looks like, saving money, I cut the templates out using construction paper, because they're all different colors of diamond shapes in my little bag. And luckily, I still have some fabric left over. It looks like I was organized enough to put all three of my colors in each of their own individual bag and still have the paper templates as well. So I took a photo of it. I took a photo of the top, the front part, the back, showing that I have taken out some of the diamonds and most of the ones around the edges remain. And then my little baggies of fabric. So I did take a photo. It's laying on Lady G. Actually, it's laying on top of Celtic Solstice. But I have the batting flipped up over top so you can't see the quilt top. And partly because I don't want the batting hanging down the floor, because Jody has a tendency, and I can't get him out of that. It's that Bichon determinus in him. He has a tendency to chew my batting. So unless I am in the craft room quilting while we're in there, I keep the batting up and over. If I'm in there quilting, it's a good thing. If I'm not in there, I get the batting out of little paws' ways. So yeah, I took the photo and it brought back memories. And I think I either may end it where it is now. I have one more row to finish if I end it now and just make it a little table topper. I have one more row to finish. And I say that because when you look at it, there is a row of yellow, which is actually the top part of the cube. So it really looks unfinished. But if I put the other two colors underneath that yellow, it could be a little finished top. My daughter had suggested that I finish it wherever I am and frame it out and make it a photo, and that might be a good idea. It might have to be a custom frame. I'm not sure. I'd have to measure it to see how big it was, or I could look to see what frames there are and then just make the top or the little mini top fit the frame size, which is probably the easiest and the most less expensive way to do it. So I just wanted to get those couple of things out. Oh, one other thing. I posted on my blog, and if you go to thequiltingpot.com, it's a direct link to my Blogspot blog. I posted just yesterday, being Sunday, to my blog in reference to my Friday podcast. I tried to get the show notes up on Blogger. If I upload the podcast on Friday night, it's usually late. So I tried to get my post uploaded to Blogger on Saturday. Well, I didn't get it done on Saturday. I got it done on Sunday. And if you're interested, and there's been a little chatter back and forth to Twitter, I talked about the Magna Doodle and the Disappear Nine pinwheel and my Celtic Solstice quilting thing. I took a picture of the Magna Doodle. I left a little message written in on the Magna Doodle for Sandy of Quilting for the Rest of Us. So if you want to get a little chuckle, go over to my blog. You can get there at thequiltingpot.com. The blog post was the 26th of January. And you'll get a little chuckle when you see my Magna Doodle picture. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cute. Sandy has responded back, as well as a couple of others have responded in reference to that little Magna Doodle blog post. They got a little chuckle as well. So yeah, Sandy, I said I was going to be finished, but I'm not quite finished. I guess it's just one of those things that just keeps coming up in my brain. And let's see, three podcasts ago, I talked about having a Google Hangout with one of the listeners. And not only is she a listener, she's also a Twitter follower. And yes, Tori and I had a Google Hangout about three weekends ago now. Two to three weekends ago. We spent a couple of hours just chatting and showing each other the quilting spaces and talking about scrap quilts. And I got to meet her daughter and her son, you know, via live chat. Her daughter was talking about quilting, and that would be really nice if my daughter, either one, was interested in quilting, but they're not, so it was kind of nice. It was like having a virtual quilt in with a friend, or a friend come over to your craft area and quilting along with you. So it really doesn't matter how small your space is. You can always have a friend be right there with you and quilt along and chat and talk about things and share your love of quilting or whatever other craft that you may be doing while chatting with that friend during a hangout. So that was real nice. We have to do things like that more often. People are so spread out nowadays. Some have problems getting to Bees, which is mostly mine, because the one I really like is during the weekday. So that is a good way to do the Google Hangout. This is day two of my mobile podcast. Okay, this is AJ. I'm going to close out my podcast with a couple of more things that I want to add. Today is Friday, It is approximately 6:15, 6:20. I am not sure because I can't see a clock right now. But it is dark and dusk, and I am on my way home. We had to make a road trip today for work. It was 4.5 hours each way, and we just got back. So I am almost home, about another 40 minutes, and I should be home. So getting back to the things I'd like to add is, first of all, my clover pins have arrived since the last time that I talked with you. On my earlier part of my podcast, I talked about the clover pins and having them to pin my hexes to the fabric. So they're arriving. They have arrived, and I am using them wisely. They came in a packet of 150. I took a picture of not only the clover pins, but I took a picture of how I have used my hole punch and punched a hole in the hexes and applied it to my fabric. So you'll get to see what that looks like. The other thing that I want to talk about, since then, I have ordered online a PDF version of the jewel shape, and there was one other shape, I can't remember. Oh, and the 60 degree diamond shape, until mine comes from Sue Daly's shop. I think it was Sue Daly, and she lives in Australia, so my package is coming from Australia. I don't know how long that takes. So in the interim, I downloaded a digital version of the sixty degree diamond that you can use along with the 1-inch hexi, and it's a 1-inch 60-degree diamond. No, take that back. It's a 60-degree diamond. I'm just going to leave it like that because I don't know if it goes with my 1-inch or not. But my jewel shape does go with my 1-inch hexi. So if you look at Sue Daly's site, you'll see what she does with the hexi and the jewel shape, which is a pretty cute little flower. So I don't know if it'll just be a plain grandmother's flower garden, whether it'll be a diamond shape, or whether it'll be a combination of both flowers. We'll see, because these little things are a very long-term project, and my hexagons are 1-inch. That's the shape of one of the sides is 1-inch. I don't know what the entire width of it is from one point, the longest point of one side to the other side, but I know one side of my hexi is 1-inch. So took a picture of the hexes with the pins and the fabric, all the nice little neat little, this is how I use them. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and it just left my mind, God knows, it is hard to remember sometimes when you have so many things up in your brain and there's so much on your plate and there's so many things that you want to do that's going on, that's work-related, fun-related. It's just a lot of stuff rattling around up here. And hexes was one of them. Oh, the other thing. I said that I would hopefully have my disappearing pinwheel done by last weekend. Well, that did not happen. Okay. Just did not happen. I am working on my last 7 blocks this weekend, and just following along on Twitter, I see it's going to be a hashtag SBSI. So yeah. SBSI this weekend. Yay, yay, yay. And I see Pam's hosting some kind of giveaway. But I wasn't in a place that I could actually look to see what the giveaway was, because it wouldn't load on my phone where we had to go. We had some really bad cell connection. So, but anyway, I digress a minute. So, didn't get it done. And then when I went back to look at the video, I couldn't remember how many pinwheels went along the border. So when I went back and listened to the video, it sounded like the remainder of the block she used. She cut it up in fours, which would make it charm pack size. So the remainder blocks is what she used to do the border with. Using 30 to do the center, that should leave you 12 to do the remaining blocks. So I was looking at my layer cake. My layer cake it didn't really have lights and darks. It had more mediums and dark. So I had to fiddle around in some of my charm squares that I had already owned to try to find some that would fit in the border. And of course, I couldn't find enough of light ones, kind of the same look and style. So I'll see how many I get out of this. And I did order a couple of more, you know, like quarter yard cuts of things. So I'll make several of that. I think I ordered three different kinds from the Fat Quarter Shop. So I'm not there yet to even start making them. And if I need to, I'll just make what I have and keep rolling. But saying that, making the small pinwheels won't be a problem because I already had a charm pack of vanilla of my whatever French vanilla charm pack, which is the same as my backing. My contrast color. So I have a charm pack of that. I can already get started. But what I did not have was yardage of the French vanilla. I had creams of different sorts that I thought would work so I wouldn't have to order any yardage. But with that said, when I actually placed the French vanilla with the creams and the light beige or the tan, or not tan, but the beige, the cream, or the off-white, or the cone of snow, I knew was already going to be too white. But, yeah, it was too noticeable to use. Now, would it have worked in a pinch? I guess it would have. But I just didn't want it that noticeable. So I ordered from Missouri Star a little bit of French vanilla. I think I ordered a yard. I should be able to get the two borders, the inner border, then you'll have the pinwheel, and then you'll have the outer border. I should be able to get that from a yard, or did I get 2 yards? I'm 2 yards, I'm not quite sure. And if I can't get it out from a yard, then it'll have the French vanilla in a border just so that the pinwheels will appear to be floating. And I'll figure out something else for the outer border. It may just end up in pinwheels, you know what I mean, with binding. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that was the two things that I wanted to talk about on Wednesday, but I didn't get a chance to do it. So the very last thing that I'm going to say is, when you're trimming dog ears, trim carefully. In doing one of my pinwheels over this past week, I had a set of, I guess it was six blocks, which would have been 4 sections each. So I was trimming the dog ears, and I was like, tired of trimming dog ears. So I was trying to keep them all together and just flipping them over and trimming as you go. Well, if you're not very careful, guess what else happens when you're trimming dog ears and trying to take shortcuts? You trim part of your block. Not necessarily the block that you're trimming the dog ear from, but a block within close proximity of that block you're trimming the dog ear. Yes, I had a blue fabric. It was one of my blue pieces. I was trimming the dog ears, and I cut not only into the blue block. It wasn't the triangle block. It was my actual pinwheel block. I was cutting something off. I don't remember what it was. And I cut the piece, not the diagonal square, but the two bar like. So I had cut not only the blue, but I cut the white part. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? So I ran to my leftovers to think maybe this was one that maybe had a duplicate, because in the layer cakes they sometimes duplicate colors if they don't quite have enough, or I know they duplicate prints. But I was hoping that I could find a duplicated color and print. Well, that was a no-go. So in my infinite wisdom, I had trimmed my blocks down to 12 inches prior to me cutting them up in their little respective sections. So I ran to where I store my little shavings. It's in a little bag or wherever I'm cutting them. I usually have a little bag there, and I put my stuff in there so I don't have stuff all over the floor. So I dug in there and I found the biggest side of what I had shaved off, and it was, you know, the blue and the white together. So I took it out, and I had at one quilt show, I think it was the first quilt show I went to when I moved to Georgia, the first Jacksonville quilt show, which now would be two quilt shows ago. And there was a vendor there selling something. It's in a yellow and a red little container, and it was called 007. Well, at that time, the vendor was demonstrating it, using it to attach your batting and backing together. You sprinkle a little bit of this on your fabric, and then you press from the wrong side, so your batting would, you sprinkle it on your fabric. Is that how it goes? Or you sprinkle it on your batting. Well, whichever one you sprinkled it on, it adhered the layers together, and it was a no basting method. So then it also, during the vendor showed how it could repair like small rips and tears, and I still had it. I did try it for the basting part when I first got it. It wasn't, what can I say? It wasn't all I thought it was going to be, or it could have been an operator error, and I just didn't do it the correct way, which is highly possible and probably 99% more of the truth than it not working like she demonstrated it, because it worked perfect for her. So anyway, long story short, I dug in my little shoe, right over the door shoe holder, where I put my notions and my thread and all of my little whatever I want to put up there, and then I can never find it. But I dug it out of that. And I took my blue piece of fabric and I cut a little square, a little rectangle, and I sprinkled just a few little granules of this stuff on that fabric. And then I took my piece, my block piece, and I approximated the edges, the cut edges, as close as I could. And I put it on that little strip. Then I couldn't find my pressing sheet. Of course, I have two of them. I can't find one. So I couldn't use my pressing sheet, because what I would have done was to put that on my pressing sheet and then folded my pressing sheet over and then pressed it that way so the gunk would stick to my surface that I was ironing on, nor to the back of the iron. Didn't have that. But what I did have was parchment paper. Parchment paper works just as well as a pressing sheet. Probably not as thick, but I had parchment paper. So I put my parchment paper down, put my little strip down, put my little granules on, took the cut portion, and put on top of that little cut piece, and then I folded my parchment paper over and pressed it. And you can barely tell that I cut it. I am hoping once I piece it together to the border, you won't notice it at all. And you probably would have never known it was done had I not told you. Now, with that said, the blue went fine. I cut a little piece of fabric for the white, or the French vanilla. Didn't work so much, not so much. Because what happens is, AJ, when you put a piece of fabric on behind a piece of fabric that is already light, you get to see said piece of fabric that you're trying to repair, as well as said second piece of fabric that you're using to repair. So yeah, when I did that little fusing thing, that was a big faux pas, a big mess. It was just a mess. That's all I can say. A hot mess, as some would say. So when I looked at it, and you know how they say, if you can't live with it, just looking at it, you won't. If you can't live with it now, you won't be able to live with it later. Well, yeah, I couldn't live with it then. Couldn't live with it as I looked at it, and I'm like, gotta find another solution. So I had to take that apart. Now however it is, I took pictures. I can't remember exactly which ones was which. So I took pictures of the cut part so you could see it, along with the product that I used. So what I had to do was to take that apart, and it might have been in my half square triangle one versus the straight seamed one, but anyway, you'll see. Oh God, I can't remember anything. So yeah, I had to take that apart. And if you remember earlier, and I may not have put this on my blog, but earlier I had done my disappearing pinwheel block. The very first one I did, I had not started trimming it down to 12 inches, and I got that little tip from someone on Twitter. I cut my block using what I thought was the certain amount from the center, and it came out jacked up. Really, it really came out jacked up. So I didn't use that at all. What I'll probably do is use parts of it as my signature block or my label for the back. I'll probably incorporate it somehow into the backing and use it as a label. So that's a thought process of mine. But anyway, so the half square triangle from that debacle, I took that apart, and it was half a square triangle. I took that apart and used it in place of the one that I had inadvertently cut. So I know saying all of that, I've confused everybody, because now you don't know if it was a half square triangle or if it was like the little 2.5 inch strips sewn together. So you'll see the fit picture and you'll figure it out, because I've totally screwed you up now and confused you to no end. But yeah, just a friendly reminder, if you're having a hard time multitasking as you get older and you need to cut dog ears, I suggest you cut them one piece at a time. Don't have them layered on each other and flip and cut and flip and cut. One at a time, and I think that would be the best course of action if you're anything like me. So I think between the one I recorded earlier in the week and this one, I think that's all I have at this time. It looks like it's going to be a Super Bowl sew-in weekend, and I'm going to participate. So with that said, if you need to reach me, you can reach me at thequiltingpot.com. That takes you directly to my blog. On the right-hand sidebar, there's links to Ravelry, Goodreads, And also, I think there's an Instagram link as well as a Pinterest link, the little follow me buttons. I am slowly but surely trying to figure out how to make these little link buttons. So, yeah. If you'd like to get a hold of me by email, you can email me at the letter N, the number 2, P as in Paul, R as in Red, P as in Paul, L as in Lima, the number 2, at gmail.com. And I just discovered, and I had forgotten that I had done this, I also have a Gmail account. Email is thequiltingpot@gmail.com. Now, when I get to it, I probably won't remember the password to get there or what email address I used to get a second Gmail account, but I'll figure that out later. So the best way to get a hold of me is either leave me a message on my blog or leave me a message at n2purple@gmail.com. Well, n2purple2@gmail.com. So, as always, until next time, may all your seams be straight.